Good morning. A little change up to our regular music in the intro this morning. That is our Forest Hill worship team with that great hymn. That's such an appropriate hymn for the book of Revelation. Crown him with many crowns. Happy Friday morning to you. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. Grogu is with us this morning. Baby Yoda, as some call him. Good hot cup of coffee. And a good chapter on tap this morning from Revelation 8. It's a challenging one. It shows us the power of the prayers of God's people and the effect they have on the earth. And then they show us the judgment of God, which is universal in its scope as it's being poured out upon the world. Let's pray and then we'll dig into Revelation 8 together this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for waking us up this morning and giving us another day of life. Every day of life is a gift from your grace, for we don't deserve it. We deserve to be receiving your judgment, but instead, we receive life and health and strength and beauty and goodness and laughter and joy. And yes, sometimes sorrow and hardship and affliction, but even these things you give to us for our good, and you work in and through them to deepen our dependence on you. Father, show us your truth in Revelation 8. Write your word on our hearts, Father, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Revelation 8. When the Lamb opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. Then I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and seven trumpets were given to them. And another angel came and stood at the altar with a golden censer, and he was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints rose before God from the hand of the angel. Then the angel took the censer and filled it with fire from the altar and threw it on the earth. And there were peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. Now the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared to blow them. The first angel blew his trumpet, and there followed hail and fire mixed with blood, and these were thrown upon the earth. And a third of the earth was burned up, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all green grass was burned up. The second angel blew his trumpet, and something like a great mountain, burning with fire, was thrown into the sea. And a third of the sea became blood, a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. The third angel blew his trumpet, and a great star fell from heaven, blazing like a torch, and it fell on the third of the rivers and the springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters became wormwood, and many people died from the water because it had been made bitter. The fourth angel blew his trumpet, and a third of the sun was struck, and a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of their light might be darkened, and a third of the day might be kept from shining, and likewise a third of the night. Then I looked, and I heard an eagle crying with a loud voice as it flew directly overhead, "Woe, woe, woe to those who dwell on the earth at the blasts of the other trumpets that these three angels are about to blow." It's powerful, a little bit mysterious, but the first thing that we see here pretty clearly is we've moved from one set of judgments to another. We had the first six seals, and what was interesting that we saw about that was the opening of the sixth seal very clearly brought us to the end of the world and the judgment day, the great day of the wrath of the Lamb of God. And so that was the end at six seals. And then in chapter 7, we had that vision of the sealing of God's people and the saving of God's people and then the ingathering of God's people, which also led us up to the end. And so now we have another unfolding scene. Now this one starts here in chapter 6, and chapter 8, and it won't properly reach its end until the end of chapter 11 with the seventh trumpet. So this one will be a little bit of a longer unfolding scene. You know, one way to think about this is, if you're a sports fan, sort of instant replay and getting a different angle on the action. So if there's a really close call at the touchdown line, and did the ball cross the plane, was his knee down before the ball crossed the plane, that kind of a thing. They want to get every angle possible on the play. That's a very, very trite illustration, but you learn more about what happened by considering it from every angle. And so that's what we're getting in Revelation. We're getting the same storyline, but told from different angles. And in this case, we're getting the unfolding of judgment. So judgment was also the theme of chapter 6 with the first four seals. And here in chapter 8 with the first four seals, we also have the theme of judgment. Like chapter 6, chapter 8 is describing ongoing judgments that are poured out from God with increasing intensity throughout the time of the church age, or the tribulation, or the last days, as we've seen, those are all synonymous terms. But here we see the seventh seal opened to transition, and we get silence in heaven for about a half an hour. And then we have this intervening scene before the first angel blows his trumpet, and that is that we see the prayers of the saints. There's an angel who stands at the altar with a golden censer, and he's given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints. This is Old Testament temple tabernacle imagery, the altar of incense that the priests would burn, that smoke would rise along with the smoke of the sacrifice. That's a picture of Christ and his sacrifice and the prayers of God's people. So the prayers of God's people go up before the throne of God, before the altar of God that's before his throne, and down from the altar comes judgment. Peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. Those are four pictures of judgment. The prayers go up, and the judgment comes down. We heard the prayers of the martyrs in chapter 6 under the altar. How long, O Lord, how long? Here, these are the prayers from God's people on earth, suffering persecution, suffering oppression because of their testimony in Jesus Christ. And as they pray, God responds to their prayers with judgment. In chapter 6, God was sending out judgment from before his throne through the four living creatures in the form of four horsemen who were conquering kings, making war, causing famine, leading to death. And it was a fourth of mankind, up to a fourth of mankind, that died. Here, it's the prayers of God's people that lead to these judgments, and the judgments are more intense because it's now a third. So we've gone from a fourth to a third. Now, these are not man-made disasters as chapter 6 is. Chapter 6 is about conquering kings, power-hungry rulers. Again, we talked about, you know, the Joseph Stalins and Napoleons and Adolf Hitlers and Mussolinis and Charlemagne's and, you know, all of those type of people, Charles V, who throughout history have claimed empire and advanced kingdom through war, causing famine and death. This is different. This is natural disaster, is how we would term this. We would term this natural disaster. But the reality is that it's judgment from God. And it hits the four aspects of creation. Remember, four is a number in Revelation that means the totality of creation. The four corners of the earth, the four winds of heaven, the four directions of the compass, north, south, east, west. The four horsemen, that's also like going out through all the earth, the totality of creation. And these are four trumpets which cover the four major environments of creation. So there is the dry ground, first angel. There is the sea, second angel. There is the fresh water, third angel. And there is the sky, fourth angel. And that means God pours out what we term as natural disasters in increasing intensity as a way of judging people, and in particular in response to the prayers of his people. So his people are praying for justice. His people are praying for an end to evil. His people are praying for relief. His people are praying for the downfall of wicked rulers. And God responds by sending disaster. In ancient Rome, the volcano that exploded, that buried Pompeii, Mount Vesuvius, that buried the city of Pompeii. If you know what they found when they excavated Pompeii, you will know that it was a city of tremendous wickedness. It was gross immorality. And it was buried alive in ash and fire and smoke. And all Christians at that time knew that was the judgment of God on Pompeii. They didn't take what we take. Sometimes we as Christians take a sort of naturalist, almost secularist, atheist perspective on things. Oh, a hurricane happened. Oh, some flooding happened. Oh, there's some bad wildfires out west. Oh, you know, this and that ecological disaster. These are just random things that happen. They're the judgment of God. They are the wrath of God. Romans chapter 1, verse 18 tells us that the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all of the ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in their unrighteousness. So people on earth are ungodly, and they are unrighteous, and they suppress the truth in their unrighteousness, and God reveals his wrath from heaven in response to that. And our prayers play a part in that. They do. Yes, they do. When we pray against the evil of abortion, and that abortion would end, and we testify to the life of the unborn, our culture is given a choice to either listen to the truth and repent of their sin and turn toward God and towards justice, or suffer the judgment of God. These are called temporal judgments. These kinds of judgments, the four horsemen, the first four trumpets, these are called temporal judgments because they take place within time. It's not eternal judgment. It's not heaven and hell. That's going to come later. That's that the sixth seal brought the day of eternal judgment. The day of the great wrath of the Lamb has come. But this ongoing wrath, sometimes people ask if there's a good God, and if he's all wise, and if he's all powerful, and if he's in control of all things, why do we see all these terrible natural disasters? Why are there earthquakes? Why are there tornadoes? Why are there hurricanes? Why are whole towns being wiped out? Well, verse 5 might give us a reason why. And these four trumpets might give us a reason why. In fact, they do give us a reason why. They don't just might. God is not happy with this world. God does not look down on this world like the old Bette Midler song from the 90s. From a distance, God is watching us and everything is wonderful and blue and green and happy and the whole world is at peace and at one. No, God sees very clearly the wickedness in the world. He sees genocide. He sees mass oppression of people and slavery and human trafficking and abortion. He sees perversion. We have more perversion coming into our homes now through the internet and through the new way that television is done with all this on-demand stuff. It's perversion. and we let it into our homes and we revel in it. God is not happy with that. And I don't think it's a coincidence that we've had the worst wildfires ever out west. We've had the worst flooding ever along the Mississippi River Valley and the Ohio and Missouri rivers. We've had the worst hurricane seasons. And you can look for natural causes, which you can also say, maybe God is judging us and getting our attention, and we need to repent. So these four aspects of creation are struck by fire. Some of these could be pictures of volcanoes, right? Or pictures of storms. When a volcano erupts, it's very possible, by the way, that Revelation was written soon after the eruption of Vesuvius and the destruction of Pompeii. And that was a cataclysmic event in the Roman Empire. So that may have been in the background when John is shown this vision. When a volcano erupts like that, it does a lot of these things all together. It strikes all of those areas. And so this could be part of the imagery that's here. Now, Revelation 8 ends with a very stunning and sobering cry from this eagle. We don't get all the way to the end yet. The eagle who cries overhead says, woe, woe, woe. Three woes. Three is the number of God. There is divine judgment coming. That's a woe, woe, woe. Is the judgment of God is coming, and it's going to get worse. Woe, woe, woe to those who dwell on the earth at the blast of the other trumpets that the three angels are about to blow. Boy, what a sobering chapter. What are we supposed to take away from this? I think we're supposed to take away from this that we need to stop looking at the weather and the world and the news as if we weren't Christians, as if we weren't believers. And what I mean by that, is not that we sort of pick a side in the culture war and become entrenched culture warriors. No, I don't mean that at all. I mean, when we see natural disaster, when we see famine, disease, I mean, COVID outbreak, the worst pandemic to hit our country in 100 years. Think about all these things, the worst wildfires, the worst flooding, the worst disease pandemic in 100 years hitting our country all within the past year, year and a half. What should we do? We should humble ourselves. We should repent of our sins. We should seek God's face. And we should cry out for his will to be done. And if America does suffer increasing judgment because of the bloodshed of more than 60 million unborn babies, then we say, you, O Lord, are just and holy. But please have mercy. Please have mercy. So we can pray, and we should pray. And I think too often we want to go rant on Facebook before we're ready to pray. And maybe that's one thing we can take away from today. Our prayers make a bigger difference in what's happening in the world than all of our social media posts combined, because they move the throne of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your faithfulness. And yes, we thank you for your judgments, even though they are hard. May we see them as judgments, and may we repent of our sin. Forgive us. Father, forgive us for being complacent, for being worldly, for being foolish, unfaithful, distracted, unspiritual. Give us the mind of Christ. Give us the heart of Christ. Give us the prayer life of Christ, that we might be more like him and that we might represent him better to this culture that we live in. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Sunday morning, we'll be gathering for worship at 10:30. at our normal place, the Newport Terrace building on Newport Drive in Forest Hill. If you're in Harford County, if you're looking for a place to worship, you are welcome to come worship with us at 10:30 on Sunday morning. We're going through 2 Corinthians right now in our Sunday morning sermon series, and we will be in chapter 3 talking about our sufficiency and our competency in the gospel in Christ. So come out and join us if you can. If not, we'll see you back here Monday morning for Revelation chapter 9. Have a blessed day in the Lord.